like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Glory to God, glory to God. We thank the Lord to know that time is running out on us, my friend. We got to come to the place to wherein we realize that what the scripture had said about the perilous times, you'll find it in 2 Timothy 3:1-13, about these days at which we now live. If you look about and see the news, and knowing that these tornadoes and storms and earthquakes and killings and all these things that are happening, storms of all kinds, flooding and destroying people's property and even taking lives of many, we can know and understand that we're living in perilous times. These things come up sort of sudden, like oftentimes. People going into the schools and shooting our children, even going into some churches of worship and everything and shooting the people and out into the yards and driving down the road and many other disasters that's around the world today. And we're looking at the time that Paul was writing to Timothy about in 2 Timothy 3:1-12-13, that in these days is perilous times coming. But my friend, we need to understand that our only hope is in Christ Jesus. He is our sovereignty protection from all of this disaster. And it may take you out, but then it's not appointed unto man to live forever anyway in this world. But it's appointed unto us that one day we will pass from this earth. So no matter how it may be, you need to be prepared. Calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope. Without him, you have no hope. You die and just go into torment. But if you've got him in your life and you've repented for your sins, past, present, and them that are there, if you repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized in his name, then you're a candidate for glory. I'm not going to say you're already there, because a lot of people is, but they're still in the flesh, and the flesh can do you, sometimes make you do things that you don't want to do or you shouldn't do. But my friend, today that we need to understand that we're living in the times of the end. It's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. If you look around through the world and through the news and the papers, one thing or another, and read your Bible, you'll find out that perilous times are upon us. You don't know. You'll be riding down the road there, minding your own business, driving along there, and everything's going good, and some devil-possessed person will come along and start shooting at you. It's just one of those things, my friend, that we need to be aware of, and we need to get our hearts right with the Lord. Pray and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole soul, mind, and heart, that you may be able to enter into the kingdom of God. The only way you're going to make it is repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only name given among men whereby that we can be saved. The government can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. I have to do it for myself, so for you. And the Pope can't do it, and none of them people can forgive you of your sins. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to cleanse you from all of your sins and unrighteousness. No other way you can make it. But call upon the name of the Lord. Be aware. Read 2 Timothy 3:1-12. Well, read the whole chapter, if you will. It'll give you some insight. Run the references on it and find out how it is that it works and everything. God will help you understand, and he will bless you if you call upon him. It's time to get it right. It's time to call upon the Lord, for the days are wicked and days are in tribulations, and all these things are coming upon us, and you know not what today may bring yet. So call upon the Lord. My wife's got something other here, and I wanted to read for you. And so just pay attention to what the word is, not so much as what we do or what we say. If we're human, we can make mistakes, not intentionally, but I just pray God will anoint us to help us to bring forth the word of truth that in your ears you will hear and you glorify him above in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my wife.
Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate each and every one of you that we've gotten emails from. I want to share a few of them today. Here's one from Jane. It's, there's honesty and consistency in your work. I know that you are directed from above. We appreciate this blessing. And we have one from South Africa. It says, I was in a coffee shop last week, an American tourist told me about this channel. I've been listening this weekend, and I was pleased to hear your spirit-filled broadcast. Well, thank you, Jesus. Then Ecuador, I have you on my new phone, and you always come in clear. Bless you, and take time as you do God's work. Thank you, Jesus. And Los Angeles, I'm a new listener and enjoying your broadcast. In France, Jesus saves. This is a simple message everyone needs to know because he is our salvation. Thank you, Jesus. And then Toronto, Canada, there used to be an ad for a product that said something like the quality goes in before the name goes out. I appreciate this, the quality in your broadcast. I hear you loud and with clarity on my new Grace Digital. The word of God gets through. Blessings from Canada. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate each and every one of them. They mean more to us than I said before than $1 million. Preachers on TV, you know, they want donations and everything. But the Lord provides. As long as the Lord provides, we're going to be on the satellite or wherever you hear us from. But now I want to share with you Set for Life. But what about eternity? The parable in Luke draws a stark contrast between the rich man and the poor beggar, Lazarus. The key to understanding is to notice who Jesus told it to. He told it to the Pharisees, whom Luke describes as lovers of money. In Luke 16 and 14, like the rich man, they were set for life, but not for eternity. They displayed an image of righteousness, but were actually hypocrites. Luke 16 and 15. Careful to preserve the letter of equality, greater expanded Mosaic tradition. They violated the spirit of the Mosaic law, and worst of all, they rejected Jesus as the Christ. Luke 16 and 31. So Jesus told the parable to rebuke them. He was not saying that all poor will go to heaven and all the rich will go to hell. He was warning those who live as though this life were all that matters. They are playing with fire. Clearly, it is a dangerous thing to have it made in this life. The sensitive rich man received his good things during his lifetime, Luke 16 and 25. He was like the men described in Psalm 17 and 14, who have their portion in this life, but have no portion in the life to come. Likewise, Psalm 73 talks about the wicked who appear to have it all. In Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee, and none is there. There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. They talk about the wicked who appear to have it all. They live above the everyday problems that everyone else faces. They wear their pride like jewelry. They have more wealth than they can possibly use, yet they belittle those who live hand to mouth. With all of their status and strength, they strut through the life, giving not a care for God, who needs them. But in eternity, the tables turn as the rich man discovers to his horror. In Luke 16 and 23, the parable concludes on an anonymous note. Jesus describes the hardness of people who are determined to reject God. Despite plenty of evidence to warn them that they are headed for ruin, they persist in their ways just as the Pharisees did. This grim parable moves one to ask, what portion do I value most in life? Which am I more interested in, being set for life or set for eternity? In Psalm 73 again, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. And I thank God that He is our strength. And when we try to do something and it seems like it's impossible, I always say, God is my strength and my salvation. And He tries, and eventually I can accomplish the task. But I thank God for every day of my life that He has blessed me with the things that I needed, not so much everything that I wanted, but He provided everything that I needed. And I thank God for that. I appreciate each and every one that has taken time to send us an email. We appreciate it. And it blesses us to keep reaching on, keep praying, keep pressing on. And we pray for those out there that are having problems like everybody else is. And I thank the Lord for everything that He has done for me. And as I always say, today is the day of salvation. Repent. Tomorrow may never come. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to realize today that we're living in perilous times, my friend. There's no question about it. If you look into the news and gather it and read in Paul's writing to Timothy there in the third chapter, you'll find and look about us, you'll see that these things are upon us. They are not coming. They're already here. Someone says, can the conditions get any worse? Yes, they can get worse, my friend, because the Bible says they are, that we're living in that time, and the Lord said that these things was going to happen, and the things will get wax worse as closer to the time of the Lord's return for His church. Now, a lot of people think that all this happens simultaneously, and the Lord's going to take His church out and then change everything right at the same time. But I don't really think it's that way, my friend, because there's going to be a time when He gathers His bride into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then there'll be a space of time that would come forth. And when He returns back to the earth and puts His foot on Mount Olive, there's going to be some time spent in that, because it's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb and all these things. And I know God can just do it all at one in a moment, but I believe it's going to take, He's going to give the people time to repent, because after the church is gone off the face of the earth, there's going to be trouble such as was not before, because the Bible teaches us that He that will let it when he be taken out of the way, and that's the church, the Christian people that are praying, be removed off of the face of the earth. Times is going to wax worse, my friend. I believe in my heart that in the next few months or years, very close to it, that they'll build their temple. They'll have that peace treaty. The old man of sin will sign with them for 7 years, but in the midst of it, He's going to break that promise, and then He'll come up there and trouble's going to come. The Jewish people refuse Him when they see Him standing there, and they're going to declare Himself to be God in the temple and sitting in there in the place of God and declaring Himself to be God. They're going to realize that He's not Him. The one that they came, the Messiah that came, the Lord God of glory, came in the flesh of man, was when He came to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He came for the purpose to die on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. Not but just a few. Whosoever will, He can come and there. So we're looking into the things that are happening around the world today. You see, the storms are getting more severe, more closer together. The earthquakes that over there, overseas over there, and there here a while back was devastating. It killed a lot of people and tore up a lot of stuff. And so the storms here in the United States, these going around besides the hurricanes, and then the season that starts in Florida here about June, and it starts out there in the coast of Africa, and it comes through. But you've had these tornadoes that swept through many of the states here in America, and they've come down and devastated people, tore up their homes and taken people's lives and everything. Just all of a sudden, it's there. Perilous times is upon us, my friend. You need to get your P's and Q's, as the old saying goes, right. You need to get in touch with the throne of God, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know him, keep praying, holding on to the hem of the garment or onto the horns of the altar there. Keep praying, seeking God for more and more, and let him help you in these days that we live. He's our only hope anyway. If you've got hope in your riches or your material things of this life, this is no good, my friend. All of this will be done away with. As Peter made mention about that, if the heavens would pass away and with the loud rackets, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. So where is your richest in all these things going to be when this time happens? You got to be hid in Christ. You got to be in favor with him and be repented of your sins in order to make it into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not with food and drink and raiment and these things of that nature, but it's power unto salvation. Jesus came into this world. God put on the robe of flesh and came as a babe in Bethlehem, that he came for that purpose, to go to Calvary and die for our sins. Because that his chosen people, Israel, the Jewish people, they were his first choice, and they disobeyed so many times until he set them back on the back burner, you might say, and brought in the Gentiles. Paul was a preacher to the Gentiles, as God told him. He said, I'll send you to Rome and to the Gentiles. He brought forth the period and the teachings of grace. The children of Israel didn't want it, and so they denied it and persecuted the prophets and everything, and they had the Lord crucified because they didn't believe that he was who he said he was. But he made mention to them, to the Pharisees and them, saying that if you don't believe, in other words, if you don't believe that I'm who I'm saying, well, you will die in your sin. My friends, we need to look at the thing today and find out what God has to say about these days that we now live. It's close to the return of our Lord. I don't know the day or the hour. No man does. According to the scriptures, it's not for you and I to determine the day or the time. But it's getting close by the signs that he said we could see, that it's close even at the door. As my wife said, the midnight hour is upon us, my friend. It's come to the place to where it's just a stroke of the hand of the clock would bring it forth, and things will begin to change rapidly. They're already perilous times is upon us. We're looking about that, how people have been going, driving down the road in their own car, doing nothing but just doing what you naturally do, drive down the road, minding your own business, and some devil-possessed person will come along and shoot them. The children in their birthday parties, they go in the yards and kill them. They go into the schools and into the churches and kill them and everything. But these things are upon us. These things are not coming, my friend. They're already here. They're happening just about every day. You read and hear it on the news there about some tragedy, somebody killing somebody for no apparent reason. The devil is out as a roaring lion, seeking that he may devour. Well, he devours the hearts of some man or some woman or whatever it may be, that will do these things for him. They totally sold out to him, and they worship him in a sense of way, then whatever he says do, they do. If it's killed somebody, or what, some of them has went out and killed many people and then killed themselves. It's a tragedy, my friend. It's happening all around the world, and we got to understand that the Bible speaks about these things that are happening near in good time, that his return, it's going to wax worse. We need to understand our only hope is in Christ Jesus, not in the Pope or our government or this or that or man's things or your wealth or your bank account and everything, but it's in Christ Jesus. He is our only hope of salvation. And after these things are gone, and if you're not hid in Christ, then there's only one other thing. Excuse me. One other way that you're going to go is either you go into the kingdom and be cast into hell. Otherwise, you're going to have to be there. If you're born again, you can go into the kingdom of God. But if not, when it comes to the white throne judgment and God looks and sees your name is not on the Lamb's book of life, he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So it's going to be one of two ways. It's no in between. It's going to be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing of thee, or he's going to say, enter into my into the kingdom of God. In other words, come in like he told Noah when the days of the flood there, when it was all thing was ready to go. He told Noah to come into the ark, and all his family went in. 7 days, my friend, the door of the ark was open, but nobody else entered in. But on the seventh day, when God shut the door and the lightning flashed, the clouds began to fold up and the rain began to rain, there was a prayer meeting on every high hill around and about, probably meeting on the ark and asking Noah to open up and let them in. But it was too late, my friend. The flood came and carried them away. When the Lord comes and takes his church out, there's going to be trouble that you or I have never even thought about. There's going to be a time of wrath of God be poured out upon the sinner and the ungodly and them that takes the mark of the beast, and they go and worship the beast and everything, which they will, according to the Bible, be some of them there. And the wrath of God is going to come out on them, and he's going to destroy them. He'll cast them all into hell, the false prophets and all them. As many people today claim to be Christians, and they say, well, but we're this and we're that, but they deny the power of God, because the only hope that we have is Christ in us, the hope of glory. If we don't have him in us, and the only way that we can have him in us, that he dwells in this tabernacle of, there, he said, no, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And but many people, they mention Holy Ghost, and they'll frown at you. I don't want none of that. I don't want this and I don't want that. That's denying the power thereof. The only hope that we got is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he'll bring forth. Paul mentions about the speaking in tongues, in which some people don't believe, but if it's done decently and in order, it's okay. But a lot of people have done some crazy things, and I'd admit it come from people that thought they was doing what was right. I've heard them whistle and say it was the Holy Ghost and da-da-da and this and that and one thing or another, jump up, scream and holler and throw chairs and one thing. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Holy Ghost, my friend. The Holy Ghost is meek and humble. It'll come with a decently and in order. It'll speak to the hearts of man, and he'll bring forth. So don't be disturbed at these things. Just know that it's not God. God don't work in no such a crazy way as that. But I want you to understand that we are living close to the return of our Lord. And it only except you be born again, you will in no wise enter in. You can't enter into the kingdom of God with all your weights, your sins, and everything. It's got to be washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. When Jesus came to this world as a babe, he came with the intentions there and knowingly what he had to do to, in order to redeem man from the fall in the garden when Adam disobeyed that one commandment. Don't eat of the tree of life over there, the tree of knowledge rather. And if you do, you will surely die. Well, Adam thought maybe that Eve, when he seen her take a bite of it, he thought she was going to die. Well, he may have thought, well, if she's going to die, I don't want to live with her. They died spiritually there, my friend, because of disobedience to God, and the Word of God will get you separated from God. And that's what it was. They died spiritually, not naturally, because Adam lived to 700 and something years, I think, and before he died. But my friend, we need to understand that the day of the hour is upon us, and we need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to read your word of God and find out. It's not because I'm saying, it's because God said it. And that makes a whole bunch of difference. It's not me, but him. It's he that deserves the praise and the worship and everything. I see things and crowds in some of these big cathedral churches and everything where thousands of people are there, and they look into the man. I'm looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, because man can fall at any time. It depends on what happens at that time. I hope they don't, but nevertheless, a lot of people just coming along here with that prosperity message that God told Abraham. He said, them that bless you, I will bless. Them that curse you, I will curse. He was speaking to Abraham, and they want to use this here to get your money and everything. It's all right to give the money, but give it with the intentions to help promote the gospel of Jesus Christ instead of making his bank account grow and bring him forth their wealth and that's untold. Some of them is on the thing there that's got millions of dollars, lives in the homes that's hundreds of thousands of dollars, riding in big fine automobiles and everything, wearing $800 and $900 suits. A friend, there's nothing wrong with this thing except the way they get it. And I believe that God will supply our needs. He didn't say all of our wants, but when he said he would supply our needs, he supplies our needs. He gives us life, health, and strength. He gives us a roof over our heads, some transportation, and a little money. But I want you to know that it takes prayer and supplication before God, praying and seeking after the kingdom of God first and foremost. And then he said, when you do these things, he said, all other things will be added unto you. He's added unto us in many things, my friend, for the simple fact that we believe that he is, was, and always will be the Almighty God, came in the form of a man to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. And I believe that this is the proper way that we need to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this other stuff will be added to it. But if you don't seek after God, and you may accomplish these things and everything, but what good is it? It's not going to bring you salvation. You go enjoy it for a season, as any rich person does. They enjoy it for a season. But when it comes time to lay down, your life is forfeited and it's ended. You can't take it with you. It's going to somebody else. But when Peter made the statement there that the heavens would pass away with a loud racket and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. So where is all it is? Plus the fact about that the rich man will run and howl and throw his money in the hold with the bats and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on him and hide him from the face of him that sits on the throne. Where is all your riches going to be if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't repented of your sins and gave glory and honor unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, then all this stuff that we accumulated in this lifetime on the earth will be done away with. But what's done for God is going to last. It'll be for eternity. My friend, if you want to make it into the kingdom, your first thing you've got to do is humble yourself before the mighty hand, under the mighty hand of God, and before him on, and with a contrite spirit and a broken heart, calling upon the name of the Lord and asking him to forgive you. At raising your hand and saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you're on your way to glory. I don't cater to that. I believe that a person has to humble himself before God, cry it out to him and ask him to forgive you. Admit you're wrong and he's right. The just was given for the unjust. We were unjust and the just came for, as a baby, and he paid for our sins there on Calvary with his life and shed blood. And by his stripes, we're healed. My friend, it's time that we got to realize that what we do for God is going to stand. But whatever you accomplish here in this world will be gone away with. It ain't going to help you to get into the kingdom of God except it be done for the will of God and what God would have you to do. Then your works will be validated. But some of these other works that you do and thinking you're going to work your way into the kingdom and you live like the devil himself and you don't do anything for God, but yet and still you got this here. Some of them come into the Lord there and said, were standing there, and he said, Lord, we've eaten with you, we slept with you, and we've done all these things and with you and everything. And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You got to get your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. The only way you're going to get your name on it is to be repented, be born again of the water and of the Spirit. There's only one way we can get into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. There's a narrow way and a straight way and a narrow gate. Many people traveled on the broad way and the wide gate, but the few that finds that straight way and that narrow gate simply because of unbelief. Unbelief is sin, my friend. Adam and Eve that evidently didn't believe what God said, but it came to be and it was sin. Just one thing, they didn't believe. But my friend, it come to the time that the world is full of sin and engrafted. The devil is out as a roaring lion and he's bringing forth death and destruction upon people and that's trying to live the life. Many of them are. And I believe and thank God to know that some of those people that's went in with the destruction that's come across, I hope and pray that they all was, but I'm persuaded to believe that some of them knew about the Lord. But he lets it rain on the just and the unjust. So don't think because that you've been born again or you're a Christian, real sure enough Christian, that these things won't happen to you. Because it said the Bible teaches us that through great much tribulations, we enter into the kingdom of God. We have problems. I've got problems. My wife's got problems. Hey, I'm close to 100 years old, about 10 years from now. But now we've got to look at the situation. If we want to be born again, if we're born again and we live the life here on this earth, then when we pass from here into the kingdom of God, we live for eternity. Eternity is a long time, my friend. I heard man say one time, and I may have said this before, that if a sparrow went around the world, and it's time he made that complete circle, and his wing would dip off a grain of sand, when it was all gone and done away with, eternity would be just begin. God had no ending, no beginning. He's all God, and he created the heavens and the earth, and some of these here people want to talk about that it all came as a big bang theory. God created man in his own image and breathed the breath of life in him. He taken the rib from a man and made a woman. He intended for him to replenish it. Therefore, but man with man and woman with woman cannot replenish. They will not breed or bring forth children. But my friend, it's come to the time we got all these things are upon us. As it was in the days of Noah, there was eating and drinking and marriage and giving in marriage and all these things. And it was that Luke pens there about to be in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Sodom and Gomorrah there, they was full of corruption and all kinds of sin and corruption and everything. When Lot was told to get out of the city, when Lot left and the fire came down in brimstone and destroyed the city, Noah's time, the flood carried them all away. Or what are you going to do, my friend? Are you going to be prepared for the time of the Lord? Or are you just going to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and say, well, I can get right before he comes and everything? You don't know that, my friend. You haven't got the promise of tomorrow, no more so than I have. It can come at the least expected moment that your life can be ended by some means or another. You think about these airplanes that crashing, the storms that's coming along, and how the earthquakes has trembled and killed people, and all things, and these people shooting one another, and so on and so forth. You just never know. Those people was going down the road, minding their own business, just driving along like normally people do, and some devil-possessed person shoots them, goes into their homes and does the same thing. It's perilous times, my friend. You can't get around it. No way of world that you can know, but if we're living in the last days, living in that time that when life is not certain, the only thing you got is certain of is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been born again, there's going to be a time of refreshing, a time of the gathering together of the saints of God and be ushered into the kingdom of God and live forever. But the only way you're going to make it is to repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, as he said, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving of the Holy Ghost, and therefore people don't believe in speaking in tongues. But how do you think that Peter knew that Cornelius, being a Gentile, that when he went to him and told him about the blessings of God and what they needed to do, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he heard them speaking in the heavenly language. Then he said, see here, can water be forbidden unto these that have received the Holy Ghost the same as we? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of these here are orthodox things come along and said, oh, Peter didn't know what he was talking about. He lied. Peter knew exactly what he was saying, because he was given the keys, three keys, to the Jew, the Samaritans, and the Gentiles. The Jews was its first choice. The Samaritans was Gentiles and Jew mixed. And the Gentiles was under a curse of death without any hope until Jesus came and gave them that hope. My friend, you've got to understand, only God will be our sovereignty, salvation. Jesus himself, through his blood, through faith in his blood, that we can have remission of our sin. Not from some deal that you go in a secret place and the priest over there on one side and he said, go, I forgive your sins. Somebody makes a joke out of it, sound like, go by and put so much money in the tilt and your sins will be forgiven. That's a bunch of bull, my friend. The only way you're going to get forgiveness of God's forgiveness for your sins is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and asking him to forgive you. And with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, calling upon the name of the Lord. He's the only one that can forgive you of your sins. I can forgive you of something that you may have said or done to me. I can do that, but I can't forgive you of your sins, because we was all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we needed salvation, and our only hope is in Christ Jesus. Without him, you have no hope. Without him, your hope is useless. If you got hope in other things it's besides him, you may as well forget it, because hope in Christ Jesus will get you into the kingdom of God, born again of the water and of the Spirit. Many people today goes down the road and they'll say, I'm a Christian and everything, but the Bible says you know the tree by the fruit that it bears. If it's got fruit that is good and everything is perfect about it. Not that I'm perfect, but God is. But everything that is good about it and comes forth, you'll know that the tree is good. When you see a tree that's bearing forth rotten fruit and it won't hold up and it won't do nothing, it's no good. As a fig tree, the owner went to it in 3 years and never got no fruit off of it. The man told the gardener to cut it down. Why cometh it to ground? Why did you let it stand on the ground and be there? Cut it down. He said, leave it alone. Leave it alone for a year and let me dig about it and dung it and everything. And then what if it produces fruit? Well, but if it don't, you can cut it down. God's the only one that can take life. He's the only one that give it. My friend, when we look at the thing, he's considering the tree and looking at it as man. As a blind man, when Jesus healed his eyes, he said, can you see? He said, yes, I see men as trees. But then he prayed again and he said, I see clearly now. My friend, I see clearly enough that I know that my God is able to do exceedingly more than I could even imagine. He's able to cleanse us from our sins and our unrighteousness and bring forth salvation unto the soul. But without him, we'd be lost without any hope. But I thank God today to know that my sins is under the blood. I know that my God reigns from the heavens above. The earth is his footstool, and he, only he, paid the price for my sins and yours. He came into this world as God spoke his word into the womb of a little Jew girl named Mary, because she was a descendant out of David, where kings come from, and he is a Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is forever set on the throne of his father David. There's no way you can get it any other way, my friend. He will be the one that's going to rule over the world with a rod of iron. He's the one that you need to be cautious of. Do unto him and praise and worship and repent. Otherwise, you're going to be faced up to the place of being cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Some people, you get to talking to them, they're supposed to be Christians. You get to talking to them about the words that are actually biblically, and sometimes they'll find some reason, excuse to not listen to you. They turn away, or I don't want to hear it, or something like that. But my friend, there's going to come a time that when all these things get down to the nitty gritty, as they say, and when the time comes to push and shove, and the day that the Lord comes, they're going to wish they had to listen then, but it'll be too late. Noah was there talking for 120 years while he was working on the ark, telling the people about the storm was coming. And it was a flood. It was going, and they had never rained before, and they didn't believe him. They mocked him and carried him on. But when he entered into the ark, and when God shut the door, we're living right now in the mercy of God. The door is open. The door of salvation is open. But once it's shut, it's going to be hard to make it. And when the church is took off of the face of the earth, the Christians have been born again, that door will be shut. The only way that I know then that, if possible, that you'd have to die for his name's sake. And I'm persuaded to believe that probably some people will. Because when the old man of sin stands in the temple, declares himself to be God, I believe the Jewish people is going to recognize the thing that the God of glory, they crucified, their forefathers crucified. But on the day when they comes forth there and the nation comes against Israel to destroy it, and right about the time that they seems that all is lost, I believe that the Jewish people is going to come on Messiah. If you're going to come, it'd be a good time to come. And he will appear on Mount Olive, and he will make a way of escape for the people, and he's going to wipe away all of that stuff that's going on and throw them all in the pits of hell where they belong, and he's going to bring salvation to them that praise him and everything. My friend, it's got to be that way, because the word of God says it will be, and I believe what it says. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, said, "Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" My friend, it's revealed out of the scriptures. He came in the entire book from Genesis to Revelation. God's in there. You may call him Jehovah, but in the New Testament, they call him Jesus. He was called the Lord God Almighty. And one time he come up there and he called him Melchizedek. And Jesus was made after the order of Melchizedek, was the king of Salem, which was Jerusalem. He had neither father nor mother, beginning or end. But Jesus came there after the order of Melchizedek. He's got no beginning or no end, but he came for this purpose, to die for yours and my sin. He was died, put in a tomb. 3 days he come alive, and he's alive forevermore. And if you don't believe that, my friend, you're lost, and the devil's got you by the beard and dragging you right into hell, and he will beat you in the face with the dust, soot out of hell, if you don't repent. The only way you can be saved from the pits of hell is repent, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and giving him praise and honor, and stop your sinful ways, your adulteries, your whatever it is. If you read your Bible, you'll find out them that curses and carries on and destroys it. He said, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up again. If you destroy the temple that God lives in, you claiming to be a Christian, and you doing all the things and that would destroy it, like smoking and drinking and carrying on like that there and everything, you destroying the temple that God can dwell in, and he will destroy it in hell. My friend, it's time we got it right. Time you call upon the name of the Lord. Time is running out. It's even at the door, even at the midnight stroke. And when that clock strikes 12, as it is a midnight hour, if you've not got your heart right with the Lord and got the blood applied to your sins, you're going to be lost. As the children of Israel was in Egypt's bondage there, when God told Moses there to tell him to kill a lamb of the first year, take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. He said, when the death angel comes and sees the blood, he said, I will pass over you. All of Pharaoh's children, firstborn, whatever, died that night when the death angel came and roamed the streets of Rome and round about, my friend. But when he seen the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of them that was behind it, he passed over them. There wasn't a child of God missed Israel, but they killed all. So they thought they would do away with Israel again, but it didn't happen. Israel is not going to be destroyed, my friend. God's going to preserve him a remnant, and it's going to be preserved in the kingdom of God. Along with that, we are grafted in. They were the true branch. We are grafted. They broke them off and grafted us in. So it'd be much easier to graft the natural in to the root than it would be the off natural. But my friend, you need to get grafted into the root of wherein that you can bear fruits of righteousness and calling upon the name of the Lord is our only hope. We just thank God for the opportunity to tell you about the goodness of God. He is good, he's gracious, but at one time his goodness and his mercy is going to turn to wrath upon the things that are ungodly and upon the devil and his people and upon the old Antichrist and these things, the unbelief. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body, he will one day preserve you in the kingdom. But without repentance, you're not going to make it. I can't make it without him. Without him, you can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. So we need to get in touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble ourselves under the hand of God. Stand in the shadow of the Almighty, praying and seeking after him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body, that we may be worthy to enter into the kingdom. But he made the statement, he said, if the righteous scarcely make it, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? They'll appear in the pits of hell, my friend, if they don't repent. Our repentance, calling upon the name of the Lord and having the blood of Jesus applied to your sin, cleansed and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, you're without any hope. But my hope is in Christ Jesus. And I hope and pray that you will find it in your heart and see that the need of him in your life and repent if you haven't already. If you know him, God bless you. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Time's running out. But if you don't know him, become to know it by repenting, calling upon the name of the Lord, taking him on in baptism. Some people said Peter lied. I can say this again. Peter lied about when he's supposed to be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father is not a name. It's a title. Son is not a name. It's a title. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the living God. Jesus is the only name whereby that we can be saved. He is the one that Peter said, be repent, being baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't make it, my friend, no other way. The Pope, the government, I, or no other body can save you from your sins except the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself died for your sins. God in the flesh, manifested in the flesh of man to die on Calvary's cross for you and I. It's time we got it right. Time you believed in what the scripture says and not what some of these people comes along with false prophets. The Lord told us, and all the prophets said, be aware of the false prophets. Be aware. Read your Bible. Find out what that is. We do appreciate those that have wrote to us from different parts of the world, and we just pray God would bless you and keep you in every way in life, health, and strength, and supply your every need spiritually, physically, and financially. We do appreciate it, and we thank you for each and every one of you. And we pray for you constantly in everything, that God will supply your needs and keep you in these days that we live in. For they're crucial times, perilous times, in other words. We need to have God on our side, that if some of this stuff does happen and we pass from this life, that we pass on into to the life everlasting. Or your body will go into the grave and turn to dust, as it says. Man was made out of dust, and he'll return to dust. But the soul will be hid. John said he seen the souls of them were righteous under the altar, crying out, "How long, holy and true, wilt thou not revenge our blood upon them on the earth?" You see, a lot of people has got you looking, being in the kingdom of God, looking down and on you and seeing all you do and everything. God is, but your mother and dad and sister or brother or your preacher or whomever, his soul, if it was spared, it's under the altar waiting upon that day of redemption. His body laid in the dust and turned to dust. But the soul never dies. And there's many there scriptures that would teach you that. If you'll only read it and find out what it is. There's no man entered into the kingdom of God but he that came from out of the kingdom of God. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. We die in the faith and the hope of the resurrection. And when that time comes of the resurrection, the dead in Christ shall rise first from mortal to immortality, and from corruption to incorruption. And they that they will remain to be alive shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortality. And there we shall meet the Lord in there. My friend, it's the only way we're going to make it. Being born again of the water and of the Spirit, receiving of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You may frown on it, but that's all right. It's still the truth anyway. But my God has said it, and he said it. I believe it, and it will be according to what he says, not what I say or some other body says, but it's according to the word of God. Believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. Call upon him while that there is time. Call upon him now while the day is day. For the night cometh when no man will be able to see anything. The darkness of this world is closing in fast. Troubles is all around us. All these things that are happening, my friend, is just the beginning of sorrow. They're going to get worse and worse as near the time comes. So prepare yourself. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him praise and honor and repent. And giving him all the glory and the praise and thanking him for his salvation. And you can have that hope in Christ that one day you will meet him face to face and hear him say, "Well done, welcome in." My friend, that's what I want. I want you to be there. I want to be there. I want you to be there. But our only hope is in Christ Jesus. No other way can you make it except through the door. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door." What else way can you go? There's no window to claw in. There's no back door. If you're looking for a way to get in outside being born again, forget it. There is no other way. Jesus is the only way. May God bless you. Write to us if you will. And may the Lord keep you. And our prayers are with you. Pray one for another as we go. And seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Repent, calling upon the name of the Lord, for the day is coming when all things will be done away with and Jesus will appear. And if you're not ready to go, you're going to miss out on the greatest thing that ever happened, being into the kingdom of God. May God bless you and keep you in our prayers as we pray one for another. Write to us if you will, and we be thankful and grateful and praise God for it and pray for you as you pray for us. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you.
Take a little time in the morning and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus. to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry. You have so many things to do. But don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. Time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.